2 weeks ago, I used it all weekend for blowing bubbles. And it hasn't tasted just right since. I mean, you know, this is fine Latakia tobacco, but mixed with ivory snow, it gives a curious, I tell you. Right up there, please. There you go. I'm going to warn you, for those of you who out there who need warnings, the following program is not for people of good taste. It might offend you in many very important areas. And I'm also going to warn you that I'm feeling particularly manic tonight. Manic. That's closely associated with the word maniac, which is a person of excessive manic tendencies. He becomes a maniac or a maniac. You know, that's true. He's just going to learn a hell of a lot listening to this show, I'll tell you. Yes, indeed. The other night we brought up the subject of the fetish quality of the machines that we have in our lives, you know, the computers and all that stuff, how there is a kind of religious belief growing in the computer. Very, very religious. But you can have some very eerie experiences with these machines. And personally, I kind of dig them. I like to mess around with knobs and see meters go. I like that, especially if the meters have got green lights behind them. That's great. And if there's mysterious little red bulbs on the front of the panel that say overload, or warning indicator. I dig that. I like that kind of stuff. I think that the car manufacturers are missing a bet in that department. I think the average walking around person likes mysterious lights to go off and on, and all kinds of gauges that say overload warning indicator. But things like manifold pressure gauge overload attenuator. Mysterious things, which mean nothing at all, of course. I mean, they go off and on, and they light, and they hum. Once in a while, a warning buzzer goes off. And then you have to throw a switch, see, which cuts off the warning buzzer. It really give a lot of fun to people who don't have much fun in their life. Now, do you remember a couple of years ago, one of the car companies, I think it was Ford, came out with they tried to parallel their car. If you remember the ads, they tried to parallel their car with the cockpit of a 747. You remember that? It shows somehow the idea of airline pilots always getting into their cars and driving away, and they had a checklist that when you'd get in, you'd close your door, and a checklist would go on. You know, like shut kids up. Let's say a check trunk, see if closed, and all these things. You'd press the checklist, and I just thought they really missed the point. Though they should have mysterious knobs sticking out of the top of the car that say degree of flap. You should have flap adjusters between the seats. You ought to have. You ought to have a trim adjuster, you know, wheel where you adjust the trim, various things like that. I think that this would give the average walking around the yeehaw, the average dildoc, more of a feeling that he's really part of the action world. You know, it's the action world. It's very important. However, that's what some of these machines do. I don't think they have much in the way of a real function. It's the fact that there is something to work that's important. The hi-fi people discovered this years and years ago, that the average hi-fi buyer today buys maybe, or if he pays $500 for his hi-fi, he pays at least $350 for useless knobs. Curve, a stylus filter attenuator. And you move it up and down, not a damn thing happens, you know, you don't hear it, but a little green light goes off and on as you do it. Now, that's expensive to put in there, that green light that goes off and on. And, of course, what you got really basically is a 10-watt amplifier. But That makes a lot of guys happy. I have a friend who loves that kind of stuff. He's got meters on his meters, you know. He never reads them, but they flicker a lot. He loves that. Never plays music through it either, but it's just kind of great to see it sitting over in the corner, you know. It could be turned on if he wanted it, but it's all part of the game. But the other night, I had an exciting moment. How long has it been since you've been in a hotel recently? Now, most people stay in motels, which is not quite the same. I'm talking about a hotel. Well, I was in a hotel the other night, and the town is Philadelphia, in case you could. They still have old-fashioned things like that, like City Hall is right in the middle of town, you know, with a statue on the top of it, and people throw stuff at it, and they have a park there. It's a curiously old-fashioned town. You know, they've got a losing ball club, all the things that go with the good old days. You know, they've got them there. And so I'm in this hotel, right? Well, in the hotel, there was a machine in my room. And, you know, that some hotels now, you can, if you're over 21 and you have a credit card, you can put your credit card in the machine and you can see a porny movie. That's a fact. Did you know that, Jerry? You didn't know it until you just heard it here today? It's the truth. Well, they don't call it that. They call it an adult movie. That's a synonym for adult. And actually, the more adult you are, the less you find those interesting. Anyway, I go into this place. See, here's this machine sitting in the corner. Well, you know, I'm a sucker for a machine. And when you come to this type of hotel with this type of machine, they give you a key to your room, right? You know, everybody, you know, you get this key. See, it's got a big plastic thing on it that's got the name of the hotel. And it says, if lost, drop in any mailbox. Have you ever dropped one in a mailbox? You never have? Well, I have. I do. Yeah, I do. Because periodically, I just clean out all my suitcases and stuff out of all of those keys I've got, and I just dump them en masse into the mailbox. You don't do that. You just keep them? Well, what do you do with them? You mean you give them back at the desk when you leave? Boy, you're a law-abiding citizen. I'll tell you that. The world is full of cuckoo birds, I'll tell you. But it is. So, nevertheless, I check into this hotel. They give you this key, and attached to the key is another little key. A little key. It's a little one. And it's a little...
Good.
...stuff. And I didn't pay much attention. I just went up to the hotel room, and I opened the door, and I go in, and it's a regular hotel room, except that it's got this machine in the corner that looks... it's covered with... walnut vinyl. It doesn't look like a slot machine. It looks kind of like an elegant ice machine of some kind, see? And it's got a top on it. And so you open the top, and there inside the machine is a console, big console there, and it's got little lights that light up, and all the various goodies that this machine dispenses are shown in colored slides on the top of it, like a cheese sandwich, martini. Yeah, it gives out martinis, a little canned martini. It says, you know, stuff like whiskey sour. And for those people who are really in a sad way, I've discovered that many things are invented for people who don't basically like the thing that that they're buying. For example, a Harvey Wallbanger is a drink invented especially for people who don't like drinking. It's very, you know, my kin, if you've ever had a Harvey Wallbanger, it's closely akin, when you have one of them, to a cheap diet orange soda that you get in a supermarket. It's a curious taste. Certainly not a taste that one would go back twice for, but nevertheless, there are certain ladies who like that kind of stuff, and they probably like, a diet whiskey sours and various curious things. So, anyway, here are all these things all laid out there for me, see? Well, they were done in a very alluring fashion. As you open the thing, the light comes on, and you see all these great-looking things. You can get a hot cheeseburger, it says. This thing cooks it by radar. You can get all kinds of exotica, too, very strange things, like, for example, a liver canapé. Is served there, either hot or cold. You press the little button, it says hot or cold. And, you know, it's kind of great. And underneath it, it says the price of each thing, like 75 cents, like for a martini, dollar and a half. And then on the side of it, it's the instructions on how you get this stuff. It says, insert the key, which was issued to you with your key to the room. Insert the key, and it says, simply then press the button under the desired item, and it will be automatically credited to your account. It's all wired up, see? So the minute you go, you know, you hit the thing that says martini, see? And blah, it goes. And it says wait 5 seconds. The machine has to think about it. It doesn't just automatically give it out, not when it's handing out the, you know, strong booze. So you press the button, you wait 5 seconds, and out comes the drink, right? That's what the theory says. And it's automatically put down there on your credit card or whatever it is, your bill downstairs. So I looked at the machine. It's 2 in the morning, and it's called something like Instant Bellboy. It's got a great name like that, see? So I look this thing over, and there it is, 2 o'clock in the morning, and it looks so alluring, and, you know, it makes you want to buy stuff you wouldn't ordinarily want to buy. Now, that's part of the whole impulse buying technique. That it convinces you you should have something, one, that you shouldn't have, obviously. You shouldn't be sitting around swilling martinis at 2 in the morning. 2, it convinces you that not only should you have it, but it's easy to get. I mean, just an impulse. Go ahead. It says, come on, what the hell? You can't take it with you, for crying out loud. In fact, I'm waiting for a machine to have a tape that says that to you. When you open the top, it says, hello. God, doesn't it feel great to get in a room at this hour of the morning? And you say, yeah, it sure does. Oh, man, what a drag. Driving 700 miles on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. I'll bet your back is really killing you. It's great, you know. You'll be able to stretch out and lie there and rest a little bit. Isn't it great? How about a drinky poo, huh? What the hell? I mean, you know, nobody knows you're going to have one. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody around. How about a little drinky poo, huh? Maybe 2 or 3, huh? What the hell? You're not driving. You're not going to get up till tomorrow morning. Come on. Come on, for heaven's sakes. Then the sound of ice cubes. Come on. See? Yeah. All right. Then the voice is saying, you know, as long as you're having a little drinky poo, look, you know, it's you'll have to get up early in the morning, and the coffee shop's going to be crowded down there, you know, and they're all going to be eating those day-old biscuits and stuff down there, the old donuts and the bad coffee. Why don't you have a little cheeseburger? I got one right here, and I'll heat it up for you, and that cheese will melt down. And then, on comes the sound of a grill sizzling. See, well, I'm waiting for them to go into that. It would really work, see? So... anyway, this machine is doing that to me. See, it's in its own little way. It's got these Kodachrome slides, and they're doing everything except moving. You know, that's the next step. So I said, I wonder how it works. That's what gets you right away. See, so I stick the key into the machine, and now I'm looking over the stuff. Once the key is in the machine, it's kind of half committed there. See, I haven't pressed the button, but the key is in there. See, well, the urge to press a button is almost irresistible. Do you agree? I mean, if especially if it lights up. See, the minute that I stuck the key in there, all the buttons lit up. They all lit up. And they were in sort of a green iridescent color. Gee, you know, really exciting. And the buttons were waiting to be pushed. Just waiting. And they said all kinds of things like with ice, without ice. One button said with lemon, without lemon. Another button said, with olive. Now, I had no desire for a martini. You know, and it said things like, with relish, without relish. Now, you know, that's a sophisticated machine. It does all these great things. So I put the key in again. You know, I said, man, what? 2 in the morning. That's kind of dreary in the hotel room there. Yeah, I felt every time I go in a hotel room, not a motel, but a hotel room, I feel like Willie Roman. You know, I expect to see my battered suitcase. But nevertheless, I'm there. I am in the hotel room. See, so I plug this thing in, and I wait, and it makes a humming sound the minute you stick the key in. Now, I don't know whether that was functional or not. It might have been just, dressing on a cake to make it exciting. Turns on a buzzer in the back. It makes you think it's turned on. So I plug it in. All the lights are green and they're lighting up. See, and the thing is so pregnant with promise. I mean, it's so rich and full. And it has a big glass panel at the bottom where all the goodies come out. It says, wait 3 seconds after the goodie arrives down there. And apparently, this is just to whet your appetite. I don't know why it's supposed to wait 3 seconds, but either that or you don't want to get hit by a flying martini flying out there. See, it says, wait 3 seconds. I had all these instructions on it. So I says, well, what the hell, Nothing ventured, nothing gained. You can't take it with you, shepherd, see? Why don't we... So I looked over the thing and I said, well, this is no way, A martini is a drink that should be drunk before dinner. You don't have a martini, see? So I'm looking around. They had all kinds of liquors. For example, it said you could have J&B on the rocks or J&B neat. Well, that's interesting. It said Jim Beam bourbon, Beam's choice, on the rocks. Or neat. It says dry sack sherry. If you want to be a little elegant there, you have a young lady up in your room there, and you want to discuss some important transaction over sherry, that's kind of elegant. So it says a dry sack sherry. Now that's the kind of stuff it had on it. It's very hard to ignore this. Cheeseburgers, it had a club sandwich. And you can have it either hot or cold, with or without mayonnaise. Very interesting stuff. For example, it had a broiled fish sandwich. I've never seen a machine that gave you a broiled fish sandwich. Have you? No. And it says you can have it with or without relish. So I look at the machine up and down. It had about 50 different selections. Tremendous. How it could be all encased in that one little box was in itself a masterpiece of miniaturization. Probably had their little miniature sandwiches in there, too, So there's my key sticking out of the thing there. So I just reach over and I said, what the hell? All right, Donald, I'll start out. Why not go all out? So the most expensive item that they had, believe it or not, they had on there, it said, spaghetti and meatballs. That's right. It says, with or without tomato sauce. Well, so I says, well, I'll go all out. So I hit the button that says tomato sauce, and it says, you must make your selections of what kind of dressings you wanted before you press the master button. So I press tomato sauce, and I press... Parmesan cheese. Now I'm ready to hit the master button. This little baby cost $2.25, I might add, the dish. So the master button was green and it was glowing. So I reach over and I touch it, see, and it goes, that's it. And it went, kunk, 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 kunk. I waited 3 seconds, and I was all excited by this time, see. And I opened up the glass door at the bottom there. Nothing. So I figured I didn't wait long enough, so I pushed the glass door down again. I figured there's an overload relay in there or something, or a cutout relay, something. Machine is humming away. Nothing. So I figured maybe I better hit the button again, So I reach up and I touch the button. Dunk, 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 dunk. Dunk. So I wait 3 seconds. So I take out my Omega timer there and I press the button. 3 seconds, 4th. I'll wait 5 seconds. 5 seconds, 6 seconds. I'll wait 7 seconds. I open up the glass door. Nothing. What the heck, So I hit the machine. I just hit it, see? I banged the machine. And it goes, dunk, 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 dunk. I waited 5 seconds. Nothing. Well, now, I am not one to give up easily. Are you? Not one confronted with a machine with buttons on. No way. So I said, well, I didn't get a meatball, so I figured, well, let's go to the other end of the scale. I'll try, how about a little Jim Beam, huh? On the rocks. We'll try that. That was $1.50. So I pressed the button that says, on the rocks, and it went, doop, right, a little click. And then I put my finger on the green button and says, I'm going to press it very carefully. Maybe I didn't press it right. You know, sometimes you feel like you must have pressed the side of it or something. Put my thumb right on the middle of it, and I press down, and it goes, just like that. Ka-dunk. I wait the required 3 seconds, open up the glass door at the bottom. Nothing. What the hell? So I then reach over and I press that button again, and it goes, makes a little thunk. Thunk, 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 thunk. Ka-dunk. 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 Makes these great noises. Up comes the glass door. Nothing. Well, I figured I keep ordering stuff that's out. So I said, let's get something that I know can't conceivably be out. No way. How about a magic magnetic puzzle game, which was over on the side under a category of things called for the kiddies. I said, now I know they're not going to sell a lot of magic magnetic puzzle games. You know, the one with the little Scotty and the little black dog. So I pressed that button, and it goes, dunk, 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 ka-dunk. I open up the door, nothing. So I said, oh, well, what the heck, you know. So I tried it once more. I hit the button under the doggies, the magnetic magic puzzle game again. And I said, the hell with that, see. So I turned on the television set. And curiously enough, for a hotel that has such a sophisticated machine in it, it had an ancient black and white TV set that was made by Madman Muntz. Now, for those of you who are really into the trivia game, there is no more bit of trivia than to mention the fact that at the early days of television, a television set was widely publicized and sold on the radio. They used to sell them on the radio. And it was made by a used car dealer from Los Angeles called Madman Muntz, correct? You ever hear of that, Jerry? Well, if you ever see a TV set marked Muntz, M-U-N-T-Z, you've got a real piece of trivia right there. That's a bit of collectoriana, you know, along with roll-top desks and things. So here is this crummy-looking black-and-white TV set that really, honestly, could have brought a nice, tidy figure on a collector's market already. It had an early Chinese modern plastic case on it. I haven't seen that type in a long time, with sliding doors. And it was as black as white as you can get. And, so I turn it on. There's nothing but snow, you know. And that was a reminder of the good old days in television when the only picture you saw was a lot of snow with a hazy black and white image that was tall and skinny. So I'm watching this. And by the way, the film was, by the way, right out of that trivia period. The film was part of a Charlie Chan festival. Charlie Chan was still operating on that old television. So I expected to see Milton Berle come on, you know. And what was the name of that guy that did the Storm Door commercials? Remember used to do Storm Door commercials between reels of film? And he used to say things, and if you're in New Jersey, call this number. And if you're among the first 20 who call, you'll get this beautiful plastic meat cleaver with this, pistol grip. You see, remember those great things? So I'm watching this thing, see? And little did I realize what was awaiting me. You got to understand, friends, when you're in the grip of the machine world, a lot of things do not come to pass until long after you're fit to fight them. And so I finally said, well, hell, I've had enough of this movie. And I said, well, I might as well give up the ghost for tonight. So the next morning, bright and early, I go bopping down the steps, and I'm all ready to go. I've got my bag in my hand. I've got an appointment in about 14 seconds. I got to get the hell out of there, so I go trotting up to the desk for the bill. See, I hand this guy my key. I says, well, I might as well sign up. And he hands me this fantastic bill. I says, what do you mean? I thought, what are you talking about? He says, well, here, it's all itemized. And I see on the bill, it says three spaghetti and meatball dinners. I had three Jim Beams. I had two magic puzzle games all listed down there. I says, no, I didn't get them. He looks at me. He says, I'm sorry. He says, it's right there. You ordered them. You got them last night out of the machine. I said, but they weren't in the machine. He says, Ernie! Ernie, here's another one! And Ernie comes out. He's 6 feet, 7 inches tall. And Ernie puts his hand on my shoulder and says, you having a little trouble here? And Ernie comes from around behind me. See, you having a little trouble here? A little problems here? Well, I look up at Ernie, see, and Ernie's standing there. He looks like a linebacker for the Colts, see? Ernie's standing there. He says, well, what seems to be the trouble? I said, well, I'm not having any trouble. You're having trouble with your machine. Hi, George. Look, three spaghetti and meatball dinners with Parmesan cheese. That's $2.25 each. You got me down for $6.75 for meatball dinners last night. You got me for three Jim Beams. Let's see, that's $4.75 for Jim Beam with ice, it says down there. 10 cents extra for ice. You've got me down here for three magic puzzle games. I didn't get any of them things. He says, well, you pressed the button, didn't you, fella? I said, well, yeah, I pressed it. He says, get out the file, will you? See if we got this guy on the file. You know, they're getting out the bad credit file, you know, the wanted for police file and all that kind of stuff, passing bad checks. So at that point, he says, well, he says, you know, it's all on your credit card anyway, so it don't matter. You know, there is that belief extant in the land that it's all on your credit card, so it doesn't matter. You've seen that one you pulled on you. So what the hell, it's on your credit card, it doesn't matter. I said, but I didn't get the stuff. He says, the machine does not make a mistake. Did it come on and say all out? Did it come on and say empty? I said, no, it didn't do anything. It made a buzzing sound. It went dunk, dunk, dunk. He said, oh, that meant it was registering. He says, you know, it doesn't only register down here. It registers with the National Credit Bureau. It registers with the U.S. government, the FBI, the CIA. It's also registered in all the European capitals where you may be traveling. So you better take care of this fella. I said, you mean, in spite of the fact that I didn't get any of this stuff, I better pay it? He said, well, that's up to you. That's not my credit rating, fella. I like it when they call you fella. Not my credit rating, fella. He said, of course, if you wish to register a complaint, hey, Ernie, bring out one of them forms. He brings out a form that's at least 17 pages long, involves notarization. You must supply a copy of your birth certificate in triplicate. And, yeah, it must be done by a qualified accountant with a CPA seal. And obviously, there's no way for me to fill in this application, you know. I've got 7 minutes now. I can see the time clicking by. So I hand them my credit card, and, you know, they all look at me like, oh, boy, you sure get the cuckoo birds here. You know, he goes, thunk, 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 thunk. Are you sure this is your credit card? Let me see your ID. So I said, what do you mean, ID? What do you want? He says, here, give me your driver's license. So I whip on. I thought to myself, oh, my God, what if I didn't have a driver's license? So I give him my driver's license. He says, J-E-A, Jean, that's a girl's name. Are you sure that's you? Oh, God, yes, that is me. You want to make anything about it, Ernie? Ernie, what a silly name that is, Ernie. You know, in Yugoslavia, that's a girl's name, Ernie? That's short for Ernestine. Ha, ha, ha. Well, at that point, you know, I could see negotiations are badly deteriorating. And so another guy comes out and he says, what, are you having another problem out here? He says, you know, that machine does not make mistakes. That's a computer. Computer. Oh, I said, okay, yeah, well, in that case, fine. I'd be glad to. I didn't know it was a computer. I just thought it was a slot machine. You know, I've been taken by slot machines for years. I wish I had every nickel that of every dime and every quarter I put in a machine that just swallowed it up and didn't even so much as say thanks. You know, we got about 9 of them on this floor up here. You know, in fact, we've got one on this floor up here that whenever it's empty, it not only keeps the quarter, but a little door opens on the side and a boxing glove comes out and hits you under the left eye, you know. Just bam, you know, smacks you in the eye. Yeah, I saw one that has a foot that comes out and trips you when you walk by, you know. So, nevertheless, I had to concede that I was wrong. You know, I said, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't know it was a computer. I'm very sorry. Why didn't you bring that up right in the first place? You just kept calling it the machine. I figured it was the slot machine, you know. I know, I admit, I must be wrong. Somewhere back of that machine, all my meatballs and all that stuff are still there, you know. I probably didn't work it right. Yeah, that's right, fella. Okay. He says, what's that bulge in your bag there? You know, I keep my tennis shoes in my bag there. Oh, I thought you may be stealing the ashtrays again. I said, no, I don't want any ashtray from your joint. And so I made a break for the door, and I got out in the rain there trying to get a cab. By the way, their doorman, there's a button that goes off, you know, when a real bad apple is ejected from a hotel like that. They just step on a button, see, and a green light goes on next to the doorman that says, don't get a cab for this dill doc. In fact, wave the cabs away. You see, they put up a little flag that says, don't stop for this clod. So I'm standing out in the rain, little realizing that flag flying over me says, look out, bad number, see. I just want to tell you, friends, that the machine world is very exotic. You've never run into that machine? You have seen that one. Have you got something out of it? You did, huh? Well, of course, I was they saw me coming. I was in the sucker room, and I got nothing out of that machine. Now, it has been my experience that the machines around the country, I say, possibly one of the excitements of those machines is the uncertainty of it. The actual feeling that you won when the cigar comes out. You know? I mean, you do. It's an excitement. Now, you're paying twice as much for that damn cigar as you would any other place. But the fact that it came out of a machine gives you a vague feeling that it's somehow free and that you won. It's excitement. And I would say probably those machines, I don't know what the actual Las Vegas odds are on that, but what would you guess the odds are that you get something out of a slot machine? I'm talking about a dispenser machine. What would you guess the odds are? No, I mean, judging from your own experience with machines that you put the quarters, nickels, dimes, various coins in, what the percentage of duds you draw would be to the percentage of hits? You'd say 1-to-1. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty close. Now, you've been lucky. You probably, obviously, go in higher class places. You don't frequent subway platforms as much as Jerry and I do, which is ridiculous. Anybody who puts money into a machine in the subway asks for what he gets. That's Shepherd's rule of thumb, you know. Well, that'll be something you didn't expect coming out of that machine, too. But oh, yeah. I remember one time on a machine, I shouldn't bring up it's late, you know. I'm not going to spoil your breakfast for you, but I remember one time putting a dime in a machine on a subway. You know, you do it sometimes just because you got nothing else to do. And I put a dime in for something, and it was uptown, one of the subway platforms, and I hit the machine, nothing come out, see, and I rattled the thing again twice, and all of a sudden, out of the slot where the stuff was supposed to come, a mouse came running. A mouse ran out. Down the side of the machine he went. Now, by rights, that was my mouse. I mean, he came out of the slot, I put my dime in it, he was too quick for me. His footwork was really good. And so I just wonder whether that was put in there by, whether he lived in the machine. I don't know. That theory hit me right away. Then again, that theory was rejected because he must get a lot of rattling and banging in there. And it hit me right away that he may be just another customer. That got me. I mean, you don't know. But so you can get all kinds of things. Like the time my kid brother, now I've had a long experience with the exciting machines. My kid brother one time, when we were, we used to go to this department store. See, there's a big, you know how kids on a Saturday afternoon, they go downtown, you know, and hang around Macy's and walk around. It's really exciting, see. Well, we had this big department store, and it was about 9 stories. Big, baby, you know, like Gimbel's or Macy's. You know, it had escalators. We used to ride the escalators for half an hour, upwards, sideways, back and forth, ride the elevator, you know, the whole bit. So, down on the ground floor, next to one of the side exits, they had a thing called, euphemistically, the canteen. Now, that was an alcove in the door there with about 19 slot machines set in there, you know, that gave out things like candy bars and all that kind of jazz, see? So, my kid brother, who was very small at the time, being roughly 7, and he had a wrist about roughly the diameter of your average bird's leg. So he's I'm standing there by the doorway, and Randy goes up to this machine. So he says, wait a minute. He says, wait just a minute. And he walks up to this candy machine. This was one of the terrible moments in my life. It just, the repercussions were, you know, it's a nasty scene, actually, ensued. And every time I've seen one of these machines now, I back away a little bit. Once you're burned, you tend to be... And curiously enough, though, once you're burned, you tend to also be drawn to it. Have you noticed how many guys, after they've gotten rid of an unbelievably shrewish wife, after 9 years of divorce proceedings and innumerable lacerations and fantastic alimony problems, will wind up, within 3 days, marrying one that's even worse? Have you noticed that? Well, I've seen this time and again. So, you know the old theory that once burned, just doesn't hold. I just think that once a guy's burned, he's drawn back to that thing even more than ever. That being burned lures you. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, my kid brother is standing next to this machine. And, he's standing next to this, it's the one on that side. Now, get ready for it in there, okay? So he's standing next to the machine. I'll tell you when. He's standing next to the machine. Now, there's a crowd of people in there. It's Saturday, right? Randy looks around, and nobody's looking in that direction. There's no floor walkers around. He sticks his hand in the, you know, the slot on the bottom where the candy bars come out, all the way up to the elbow and up into the machine. And it just seemed like his hand was in there like about, a tenth of a second. He just hit something in there and pow! Pow! Nope. Down it comes. Just like that. Zap! I want to tell you, at least 75 Butterfinger candy bars came out of the machine and just kept coming out. He just emptied the whole damn slot just right out. And they came pouring out and all over the floor. And now he's knee-deep in Butterfingers and cannot get his hand out of the slot. It is caught in there. Oh, God. Talk about being caught red-handed. He got caught with a chocolate all over his thumb, everything. And he tries to get his hand out. The candy bars are pouring out. Every last candy bar. Did you know that there's some kind of a thing you can hit? And he didn't know about that. He just stuck his hand up there. And it worked. And he's got Butterfinger. You know, these Butterfinger bars, this is a very gaudy candy bar, for starters. You cannot hide 75 Butterfingers that are all up around your ankles, all over the floor. And a floor walker comes over, the guy with a flower and a buttonhole, he comes over and says, excuse me, are we having problems here? I split. I went out that swinging door so fast behind a lady with a great big shopping bag full of what looked like ham bones. I jumped out, and I'm out on the street. See, and my kid brother's in there. I hear this talk and all this yelling going on in there. Well, 5 minutes later, I'm back home and under the daybed. absolutely clean, the innocent. My mother says, where's Randy? I thought you and Randy went downtown. I came back sooner. She said, well, where's Randy? I said, he was behind me when I came out. I don't know where he is. Just then the phone rang. She says, what? He did what? Well, you just keep right there. I'll be right down. I don't have to. I will draw the curtain of discretion over the ensuing scene. When my mother went down and bailed him out of the main office of the department store, paid for 75 candy bars, and the scene that ensued when later she came home and said, you're older than he is. You're supposed to watch and see what he does. Have you ever gotten justice for something somebody else did? Yes, indeed. Hardly a one of us has not had that happen. So, I've had a long history with machines, one kind or another. And you know one thing? I'm going to go back to that hotel, and I'm going to beat that machine. I'm going to get one of those spaghetti and meatball dinners out of there at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to sit there. You see, that's the human mind. He wants to go back and beat it. Yeah. Nobody's ever beaten a machine in his life. The best you can do is break even. That's the best. Nobody's beaten a machine ever. Yeah.